Good morning, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. Kind of a momentous day at Gateway Ford. Not really Gateway Nissan, although they're right next door to each other. But Gateway Ford just received two of the all-new F-150 Lightning pickup trucks. Yes, lightning has struck at Gateway. I just coined that phrase. I wonder if I can do a registered trademark. Probably not. But we're kind of excited about these trucks. You know my feelings about electric vehicles. I think we're 10 to 15 years off for any really serious usage and uptake by the American public. It's funny, I posted this thing on Facebook, and what some people say, this one guy just put his just said electric vehicles slash junk. So, you know, there are some pretty dynamic and varying opinions as to the electric vehicle. I personally like the sound of an engine running. I guess it's just because I'm old and because it's just what I've been around. But the electric vehicles are coming, but much slower than I think the press is letting on. So anyway, how do you experience the F-150 Lightning for yourself? Well, my recommendation would be to come to Gateway Ford, because I have this one unit that we have to keep basically for 6 months. And its primary purpose is to be driven by folks like you. So if you own a truck or a car, for that matter, I'm not going to discriminate, or an SUV, don't want to leave you out, come down to Gateway Ford on, you know, in the evening or when you get off work or during the day if you're unemployed, or you can come down on Saturdays, not Sunday because we won't be open. And you can drive the F-150 Lightning. Now, we're not going to let you go out by yourself. There's a couple reasons for that. Back in 1983, matter of fact, we let a customer go out on a test drive by themselves. They never came back. Ever since that time, we have had a policy that is mostly firmly applied across the board for all people, although we do have some rule breakers occasionally. But yeah, our insurance company forbids us to let somebody test drive a car by themselves unless we're actually letting them out on a demo overnight for, you know, like they're buying the car. But we can't sell this Lightning. You can order one. That's what I would do if I wanted one, and then you might get it in 6 months or so. Maybe not, though. The Lightning is only being produced right now at the Dearborn factory, which is called the Rouge River plant. That's where they're building the Lightning right now. But before you know it, Stanton, Tennessee is going to be the home of the F-150 Lightning, and probably some other electric offerings from Ford. They're building a big assembly plant there in Tennessee. The other Tennessee, you know, there's three Tennessees, right? Did you know that the Tennessee flag, the three stars represent the three major regions of Tennessee? West Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and us, East Tennessee. Just in case, you know, you needed a history lesson. But anyway, the Stanton, Tennessee is I think it's 40 miles northeast of Memphis. So you can go down there and get you some, go to the Rendezvous and get some barbecue. If you like the dry rub, if you don't like dry rub, then you might want to go to Gridley's. Theirs is more moist, kind of like what we're used to up here. You know, I'm just waiting for, what is that restaurant called up in Johnson City that does the barbecue so well? They have this, it's called Burnt Ends. Oh, Southern Craft. Yeah, they're getting ready to open a, well, it used to be Stan's Barbecue down here in Greenville, very popular. People used to drive from all around to get to Stan's, and now they're going to be able to come from all around to get to Southern Craft's Western division. I guess the only one they have is in Johnson City, and now the new one. It's not open yet, folks, so don't come down unless you want to go to Top Choice. They're a good barbecue place, too. How'd I get off on barbecue? Oh, yeah, the plant in West Tennessee. So they're going to be employing thousands of folks, I think upwards of 10,000, because they're going to put a big battery plant there as well. And then up in Kentucky, they're sharing the love with Kentucky. They're getting a couple battery plants. And Ford is not building their own batteries, doggone it. They are partnering with a company called SK, and they are a Korean manufacturer. But, you know, I don't have a problem with foreign-owned companies for the most part, as long as they're using American workers here. And I just love the fact that there are so many parts made in Greene County that go into Volkswagens and Fords and, you know, other makers. The, let's see, Hoof. You ever heard of Hoof, H-U-F? They make a lot of lock assemblies for Fords and many other makers as well. And then there's another plant down near Mohawk, Tennessee. Can't remember the name of it. SRK, I think it's called. They make a lot of stuff for a lot of different, you know, they're suppliers. And I was listening to Henry. Henry Ford has a book called My Life and Work by Henry Ford. And I'd recommend that you get the book on tape. Well, if you'd like to read, you can do that. I do read most books, but I wanted to hear this one. And the guy that's actually narrating, it sounds like what I would think Henry would sound like. But a fascinating story about the very early days and how he got started, and the thing, the steps, I guess, that he had to go through before he developed the automobile or the model. Well, the first one was called the Model A. You know, and then they came out with another Model A. I guess they ran out of letters, had to start over. But the most successful car was obviously early on was the Model T. And how he got to that was, as you think, a lot of different generations of cars as they moved and improved and changed. So that's what we're going to see with electric vehicles. We're going to see gradual improvement. It may not be as gradual as what Henry did, but I think it will be fairly gradual. Over the next 10 years, you'll see improvements in the battery, primarily. I think the motors are about as good as they're going to get. They may find ways to improve them too, make them more efficient. You know, the biggest drawback for electric vehicles is the weight. There's just a lot of mass there to move because of the weight of the battery pack, and they've got to figure out how to get that down. They've got to figure out how to make the charge last longer and so that you have more range. And then they have to figure out how to make it charge much faster so that you don't have these long wait times. Again, I'm out as far as electric vehicles personally because I love my electric bicycle. Go buy one. It's wonderful. But, you know, it's not something I depend on to get me to Myrtle Beach. Well, I'm not going to Myrtle Beach, but any beach or any far off distance. You know, if I was driving to... I don't know, Atlanta, like I did a couple weekends ago for that Porsche thing, I would have stopped and charged somewhere and sat there for, you know, who knows how long. If anybody else is waiting, then it could be double or triple the amount of time. So anyway, that's my big problem. But if you are using an electric vehicle locally, and like I say, you know, if you're living in Bristol and you want to drive to Knoxville and back, you can do that. And just plug it in your house when you get home. But there's a lot of different issues there, and we're not going to belabor that point. I do want to talk some today about what makes your air conditioning stop working. I'm having a big problem with that right now, not in cars, but in buildings. My Nissan showroom is struggling. My brand new Nissan showroom, the air conditioning system, is become very erratic. That was a very expensive thing, as you can imagine, and the building has only been here for a year, and we're having multiple problems with it. The air conditioning over my office right now, I'm sweating right now because it's too hot in my office where I'm recording this radio show. And then at a building that I rent to Ricky Parton's Hot Rod, his office, it's the AC's not working there, so I'm not real popular over there right now, but... You know, if your AC is not working in your car, I guess you can roll the windows down. But when it's 95 degrees outside, that's a problem. So I'm going to tell you why your air conditioning is probably, or several different things that can cause your air conditioning to quit. And what to do about it. Stuff you would learn only here on My Car Guru. I'll be back in just a minute. Okay. Boy, it's hot in here. I want my air conditioning to work in my office. You know, people walk in here and say, boy, it's hot in here. It's cool in the showroom, Lenny, if you want to come out here. No, I'd rather stay back here and roast. But I don't have much choice for this radio program. I've got to be here. So if your AC is not working, what do you normally assume that is causing that? You not assume anything? You know, it could be something really simple or and inexpensive, or something very complex and very expensive. So I'm going to tell you about a few things. You know, mold and mildew build up in your filter system. If you have one of those in-car filters, you need to keep those things clean. And also, there's a lot of small microorganisms that love to habitat of your, basically, it's a collection plate. Did you know that there is a collection plate under your dash? Yeah, it collects water. You know, so when you drive into your driveway or something on a hot day and you look under and there's water just dripping like crazy, well, that's the condensed water that forms that lands on your driveway. And it's coming out all the time. But there's a tray that keeps that from going into your floorboard. I've seen those break. I've seen the tube that drains that tray break. But occasionally that tray gets nasty. And that doesn't necessarily affect the efficiency of your air conditioning system, but it sure can make your car smell bad. Okay, so if your air conditioning isn't cooling, it's very possible that you have a refrigerant leak. No different from, you know, your house. It's the same kind of system. They work very similarly. Easy for you to say. So your coolant, refrigerant, that's what makes the whole system work. You know, you have a compressor, a condenser, an evaporator, accumulator, expansion valve. These are all different parts of the air conditioning system. But if there's not refrigerant in there, then it's not going to get cold. Right now, I've noticed on my 2005 Porsche 911, my antique. Well, it's not antique yet. It will be in 8 more years. But right now, it's still in its infancy. It's 17 years old now. But I noticed that when I turn the air conditioning on and it's full blast, it's cool, but it's not cold like it's supposed to be. It's borderline uncomfortable, like I am right now. So refrigerant. Remember they used to use something called Freon. And people still come in and say, I think my Freon's low. Well, it's not, because you don't have Freon in your car. Freon destroyed the ozone, or could have if we hadn't stopped it. So they changed over to this stuff called R134A. What a luxurious name. But anyway, you can take a car that's equipped with Freon and put this other stuff in it. And they used to say, well, you had to do all this conversion and change a bunch of things. You had to change just one or two things, but it's not very expensive to do. If you have an older car, the 134A will work in it. But that doesn't work in a lot of the modern cars, like the new F-150 I was talking about. Well, yeah, the new F-150 or any of the cars, they have a different, I can't remember the number they're up to now. But when that gets a little low, then they basically inject some more in there. It's under high pressure. And it's a do-it-yourself job if you have the tools to do it. But I wouldn't recommend it. Just go to a place that, you know, the car dealership that happens to sell the brand of car that you have, or your favorite independent shop, and they'll shoot some coolant in there. Where'd the coolant go? Well, it leaked out. And if it goes out fast, like if they shoot it full of stuff and it leaks out really fast, you got a bad leak. And what they do then, they have to bring you in. Unfortunately, it's an extra trip. But they fill it back up with the refrigerant, and then they put dye in that refrigerant that will show up under a black light or an infrared light. And so you got to go driving around for a while, a couple days, and then your air conditioning goes out again. And then you get to come back to the shop and say, okay, it's gone. Where's my leak? And so they use a little infrared light, and it shows where it's leaking out. And, you know, we've done a lot of those repairs over the years, replace what we think is the faulty part, only to find out it leaks out again. It's because there was another leak. It might have been in the condenser. Now, in the front of your car is something called, well, behind your grill, something called a radiator. Now, what's that designed to keep cool? That's right, your engine. But in front of that is another little thing that looks like a miniature radiator, and that's called the condenser, and that's part of your AC system. It has to be free of bugs and debris. That's another reason your AC may not be working very well, because it cools the heated refrigerant. That sounds weird. The heated refrigerant gets hot as it passes through the system. When it loses its heat and that heat is blown into the vehicle to keep you cool, then it travels down to the condenser where it's chilled again. Okay. It gets all chilled. And then the compressor is basically responsible for moving all this around the system. I know that's a terrible explanation, but still, that condenser needs to be free of bugs. If you got a bunch, you know, I've had a lot of June bugs lately. Have you? You got to make sure there's none of those suckers in there. And, you know, just clean it. But you don't want to put you want a soft brush to get that cleaned out. You don't want, and it, in some cases, it's hard to get to. You might have to pull the grill to do it. You might not want to do that on a day that you have other plans. So refrigerant's a big deal. Condenser being blocked or broken. I mean, as far as broken, it means it has a hole in it. You know, that's where your leak is. You could have a faulty compressor. Now, I remember when the first compressor I paid for was at my second house. They said, yeah, your AC's out. I said, it's under warranty. Well, nothing else is but the compressor. I said, well, I hope it's the compressor. It was. So I got a new compressor for my air conditioning system and everything worked fine. But the compressors can be pretty expensive. Anywhere on a vehicle, anywhere from $300 to $1,500, depending on what brand of car you have. But, you know, one of the ways you can tell if your compressor isn't working is just get in your car, start it up with the air conditioning off, raise the hood, and get somebody to turn the AC on. If you hear a click and you see the AC compressor clutch engage, you'll be able to see it if you know where the AC compressor is on your car. I'm assuming something here that maybe I shouldn't assume. Again, that's where you get with your husband or your husband's get with your wife and let your wife show you all the different components underneath the hood. Like, honey, that's an alternator. That's what keeps your battery charged and basically runs the car when you're going down the road. Gives it all its electrical power. Honey, that's an air compressor. That's a power steering pump. That's your water pump. That's your fuel injection sitting there on top of the intake manifold. Oh, intake? Yeah, that's that right there. There's your exhaust. Your exhaust manifold. Just a tour. A tour of the things underneath your hood. I think everybody should know where that stuff is. Don't you? I mean, we spend so much time in our cars, and our cars are so important. We go to take it in to get it serviced, and the guy says, yes, ma'am, your alternator is bad. Okay, well, we'll replace it. Well, is it? Did you test it? How many volts is it putting out? Can it be rebuilt, or do I have to replace it? See, these are things that you don't know, and you might not even know what an alternator is. Maybe it's just a voltage regulator that's bad. Sometimes techs get in a hurry and they go to the most obvious thing, which also happens to be the most expensive thing. So a compressor can make your AC not work. Could be a blown fuse. There are fuses that are involved in this whole process, and you could have blown one. Now, what caused that to happen? I mean, you put another fuse in it, voila, it's fixed, right? And then it blows the next day. There's a short somewhere that has to be addressed. Your AC blower, your fan, may be bad. This is something that can happen. Blower vents can get clogged up as well. I don't know what somebody could spill in one. Maybe your blend doors. You ever heard of a blend door? A blend, that's B-L-E-N-D / door. That's what reroutes the air in underneath your dash. So when you go from AC to heat to defrost, those are doors that do that. And when you change, you know, let's say you're a little cool and you want to be a little warmer, when you slide that little thing over or change the temperature, then there's doors in there that are changing the flow of air. Isn't that cool? Very important to do. Damaged compressor belt. You could have a faulty belt that's causing your slippage on your air compressor. I don't know how often you should replace your belts. You know, I remember there was a time when the manufacturer said, we want everything to last 100,000 miles. And so people started buying into that. I'm replacing my serpentine belts probably at 60,000 miles, maybe 50,000. They're not that expensive. And, you know, they do get age cracks like I have. So it's just something to think about. Did I mention the clogged cabin air filter? That's part of your circulation system inside your car. If it's really clogged up, it can affect the amount of air that's being circulated inside your cabin. Let's see, what else? I'm trying to think of other things. Those are the main culprits. that's going to cause your AC to quit. But if you need any help with this, I mean, you can always come down to Gateway. We'll be glad to diagnose what's going on with your car and see if we can't figure out what's going on without too many trips back and forth. That's the main thing, isn't it? Okay, well, I'm going to take my last break. Be back here in just a minute. Hey, I have a programming recommendation. There's a show on Apple TV. If you don't have it, I'm sorry. It's called Long Way Up. Long Way Up. And it's Ewan McGregor. Do you know who that is? He was Obi-Wan Kenobi on Star Wars. I may have mentioned this the other day. And his buddy, Charlie Borman. And basically, they get on electric motorcycles. Yep, Harley Davidson made them for them. Two of them. And Rivian, which is the new truck company, nothing but electric vehicles, trucks and SUVs. And they drive from Tierra del Fuego, which happens to be where, just off the Strait of Magellan. You know where that is? Oh, that's the tip of South America. And they drive all the way up through Argentina and Chile and back to Argentina and back to Chile. You know, when you're going up through there, you got to cross back and forth in Bolivia and Peru and Ecuador and all those countries on those motorcycles. And you will see why you don't want to buy an electric vehicle. Because charging is an issue. And you've got to stay on top of it. The reason I'm recommending this show, though, is the absolutely beautiful scenery of parts of the world that I've never seen before. And beautiful people. Not just appearance-wise, but the way that they interact and how helpful they are. Until you get to Mexico. Now, Mexico's fine down in the south, but when you get to the northern parts of Mexico, you're in danger. The cartels, they just randomly attack vehicles and attack people and kidnap people, and it's very, very disheartening to see that. But it's interesting to see how they work around that and getting those actors and the crew and everybody through that area safely. But basically, it's just a lot of incredible shots from drone footage, and they have a guy following them in another motorcycle doing the recording. They have producers that are with them, directors and stuff. It's really cool, but mainly what you see are two guys riding electric motorcycles, two good friends, and their interhuman interactions that they have with people along the way. Yes, I am a Ewan McGregor fan now, and Charlie Borman. These are cool guys that really did a cool thing. So if you get a chance, watch it. It's called The Long Way Up. Okay, that's it for today, the My Car Guru show. Tune in tomorrow. If you need me, call me, 423-552-2020. That is my cell phone number, and we will see you tomorrow.